Hi, Dusty. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good, man. How you doing today, partner?
What? Yeah, that's pretty much about it. Whatever that sound is. Not bad. Not good. Not good. Somewhere in between. How about you?
I'm pretty well, actually. Had a nice little morning watching a little Olympics action.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had a nice morning. I felt bad about that. Man, I got up last night and had the, I was like really hungry, like 3 o'clock in the morning, went down for a little snacky snack.
Mm-hmm.
Just fell asleep on the couch and then woke up at like 6 a.m. and turned on the Olympics.
Now, is this a good I fell asleep on the couch, meaning
yeah, it was great.
You woke up feeling refreshed?
Yeah. I mean, I went to bed last night like 11 and mm-hmm. I woke up at like 3 o'clock in the morning and I actually felt fine then.
So periodically, so we have a sectional and the middle point of the sectional is like it's like a glove, and it just conforms to you.
Why do you just turn into like Will Ferrell?
I don't know. But I've fallen asleep there, and Ness has fallen asleep next to me, and we wake up like 3 hours later.
Okay.
It's like 2 a.m, and she's like, oh, gosh, I hate falling asleep here. And I was like, really? Because that felt like I was in heaven for that 3 hours. And like there was a point where like you kind of half wake up, and you're like, oh, I should go to bed, but you're not fully awake, so you just, no, I'm going to sit here, I'm going to peep out on the couch, and this is just heaven.
Just going to peep out.
I keep going there. I don't mean to. That's just where we are today. But I felt bad today.
Why?
You were trying to vibe on the Olympics. We are a show of vibes. Kevin Stefanski might not vibe, but you and I, we're vibe guys. All right.
We're known for our vibes. Yeah, people say that about us.
The morning boys are the morning boys, but we're the vibe guys in the afternoon.
Yeah.
Realize maybe
not. You know
what
we forgot yesterday?
What's that?
The whole show.
Hump Day.
Yeah, we did. Yeah.
And you know when we didn't forget it? The last segment of Tuesday's show. So it's like technically we got that in there this week, but we didn't get it all the way in the way we should. And so you're talking to me this morning.
What's that again?
About the Olympics. And you're watching Tommy Paul versus Carlos Alcaraz. And you're like,
pull that up in front of you?
No. It's written on a sheet here so I can remember. I wrote it down so I would not forget it. And you're like, oh, man, this would be a big thing if Tommy can come back on this one. And silence on my end. And then you're like,
because I was watching the point and I'm thinking to myself, Nick really doesn't care about this. I'm like, you don't care about this. I'll tell you who wins later.
I
hung up.
You tried a few things too, because you were like,
do you want to play by play this?
This is a big moment. This is a big moment.
And when I said that, you went silent. So I just assumed that was a no.
Well,
it's a no for you, dog.
Can I just tell you? So it's a little bit of a no for me because it's Olympic tennis.
Yeah.
And you know my general feelings on tennis. I try and be supportive of your tennis addiction, but it doesn't do a lot for me. Even great tennis, it just doesn't reach me the same way it does a lot of other people in sports, which is fine.
Mm-hmm.
But then you put the Olympics in front of it, and then my eyes start to glaze over. But I was trying to be there for you as a friend, and I just couldn't think of like, wow, big moment here. Like I couldn't think to do anything other than take what you had said about it and respond in either a question form or like a more like a curious, like, it's a big match point here. Oh, it's a big match point here? And I just didn't want to.
Well, I assume any match point's a big point.
Well,
I don't think I said it's a big match point.
Well, no. You said it's a match point here. And then the only thing you can think of is, wow, big match point. not Tommy Paul. I couldn't find anything to lie about. Like, because the situation required me to, if I was going to tell you that I was intrigued by this, there is a part of it that would be based in a lie. And I just couldn't.
You didn't care.
I couldn't. Yeah. And kudos to you for just embracing that. You didn't take it personally, but you're like, well, I'd like to watch this with somebody that, or just watch it by myself because I'm invested in it.
You know, it's one of those things where I wish I had someone to watch tennis with, and I just don't. So I have to sit with my thoughts.
I totally get it because I feel that way about sports in my house in general.
When I did that podcast, it was an hour or 45 minutes.
Was it the highlight of your life?
Yes. It felt like it was 5 minutes.
It just felt like you were just this.
When we finished, I was like, that's it?
Yeah. Can I come back?
I beg.
Do I have to leave?
I beg to come back.
Oh, I mean, again, I think I think Dustin Fox Tennis Analysis. I think there's a YouTube channel in your future for that one if you want it.
Hope so.
Now, that being said, also, I'm awful to watch sporting events with.
Why?
Because
Do you like sound and no one talking around you?
Yeah. Well,
loud sound? Or?
So unless I'm at the game, and even when I'm at the game, if I'm in the press box, I just internalize everything. I'm a product of divorce. All right? The externalizing of emotion has not always come easy to me. And when I say easy, what I mean is it's never been even. Mm-hmm. I can give you some emotion, but it's going to be a lot. So like when I'm in that moment, I'm fighting the urge to scream at the TV. And so we've definitely gotten to a point in the Wilson household where not only am I shutting down, but if somebody tries to engage me, there is some level of how are they doing this, man? Come on. They saw it coming. But, you know, when you're like 10, you don't realize that your dad's not saying that at you. Or if you're married to somebody for almost 20 years, you don't realize that I'm not saying that at you. So I am awful to watch sports with.
All right. Well, thanks for the heads up. Won't be having you over for any Browns games.
Well, no, I'd be different with you.
Oh, would be?
No, not at all. I'd be so anxious.
You go to a lot of home games? Are you going to go this year? I mean,
yeah, I like to go sit in the press box. It's a great time to see everyone.
Once.
We're kind of in a little bubble here. So I don't see our TV friends. I don't it's my chance to sit near Terry Pluto and tell him when the halftime pretzel is ready. That's a big part of my legacy now is Terry's going to be remembered as this legend, this guy, he had a commentary on Cleveland sports for 50 years. He was the voice that people trusted. And I'm the voice that people trusts to make sure he gets halftime pretzel. That's a drug. That is a real drug.
That is a drug.
You know what else is a drug, right?
Cocaine.
You're not wrong on that. Do you know what is not technically a drug, but can be used as a drug?
Delta 9.
Okay. Yeah, that's very astute. You are very on narcotics classifications. I was not aware that we were going to get to that at the start of the show. Some people treat...
We'll get there, huh?
Training camp videos, we're just barreling in. Some people treat...
Bippo.
Training camp videos like a drug. Now we do have we got bust in with this.
All those questions just to get here?
No, and I can't even get there because we have a statement. If you guys have not been paying attention to the stadium situation going on with the Cleveland Browns, Andrew Berry in training camp earlier this week saying, "Well, if it was up to me, again, I just want what's best for the Cleveland Browns, but .. If it was up to me, I think a dome is great for our players and great for our fans." So today, Justin Bibb with about two-page manifesto letter to the Haslams detailed the city of Cleveland's attempt at negotiations with the Haslam group there, the Haslam sports group, excuse me, giving them till August 12th to respond to what is just under $500 million plan to try and keep the Browns on the lakefront in that stadium. I don't really, it's a stadium.
It's a stadium.
It's got some walls, some pillars and whatnot. Well, now we have a statement from Haslam Sports Group, Chief Operating Officer Dave Jenkins, old Janky, that's what we call him. I don't even know that's what we should call him, old Janky, on receiving City of Cleveland's latest stadium proposal. I'm just going to read it. Should we read it? Let's
sure.
read that thing.
Read that thing.
We appreciate the latest proposal. No, that's a different thing.
Oh.
We appreciate the latest, although that could be how this is construed. We appreciate the latest proposal from Mayor Bibb and his administration. We'll be following up with the City of Cleveland to better understand the details while we are still reviewing it. As we have said consistently throughout this process, we continue to communicate and collaborate with the cities of Cleveland and Brook Park, Cuyahoga County, and the state of Ohio in a long-term solution that creates a world-class experience for our fans and positively impacts Northeast Ohio. We're working diligently to comprehensively examine all options to identify the best path for not only our fans, but also greater Cleveland and Northeast Ohio. Our region deserves to be thought of as an evolving, forward-thinking, and innovative. I missed some words in there. So we need to think boldly and creatively in the process. It is important to reiterate that the goal is to come up with the best experience we can for fans while creating a long-term, sustainable stadium solution that drives an impact that benefits Cleveland, the Northeast Ohio region, and the entire state of Ohio. We will continue to provide updates as we have more information to share.
Well said.
I mean,
well said.
I now just want to read the full 2-page manifesto from Justin Bibb. But in the same voice, maybe get like the SSB behind me. Maybe get a little Lee Greenwood going. Get that ambiance, that American ambiance.
So dome?
Yeah, dome.
Thanks, but no thanks, dome.
Yeah. Yeah.
You want a dome?
I believe if we were to truncate
you into dumb things?
This entire paragraph, which I stumbled through, if we were to just go ahead and boil it down to brass tacks. Oh, that's cute. That's real cute. That's, you know what? You. Yeah. Justin Bibb went full Chris Antonetti at the deadline.
You never go full Antonetti.
At least we tried. Chris Antonetti got 2 trades done. Justin Bibb is going to be left with just a hollow husk of a lakefront. And he's going to be like, hey, but $461 million, right? Huh? Huh?
Uh-huh?
Listen, I don't want to make this seem... I do not know Mayor Bibb. I cannot imagine...
You want to know him.
It's politicians, man. I don't want to know any politician. Like, once you've done the political thing, once you say... I'm a politician. I'm here to make things change. I just assume that's not really the case. Like, the whole political machinery is not designed to bring out the best and the brightest. It's not. It's not like, hey, we're going to give the best person to become president of the United States. That's not what those two parties want. No. That's certainly not what the billionaires want. Now, getting back to this, I thought it was excellent. Political shenanigans from Justin Bibb today. Don't know him. But again, it was, guys, you can't be mad at me.
What was the thing that stood out to you the most with that? Nothing?
There was 2 pages. Oh, actually, okay. No. That it was, hey, we've submitted this to you on August 1st, and we'd like to hear your response by 11 days from now. Call me crazy. If you're trying to decide where your team is going to play for the next 20 years, and if you're trying to start to think about, oh, okay, what is this going to look like? How much do we have to foot? All this stuff. Is 11 days it? I can't find a new home in 11 days.
Who can?
Took me 3 months. And I'm not moving. I don't know, billion-dollar industry. I'm just moving a bunch of Barbie crap. All right? And my wife's plant stuff. That took me 3 months. And by the way, to move
That's
it,
all?
Took me a full month to do it. Had people move 90% of the crap. The other 10%, that took a month or so. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. So, that's the latest in the state. We're going to get knee-deep into this bad boy today.
We got to get into the nits and grits.
We're ensconced in... I mean, I cannot tell you the minutia we are going to bring upon you. Like the thunder in the movie Twisters. In the lightning and all that. For the Brown Stadium. But that is the latest from... The Haslam Sports Group's an old janky, Dave Jenkins. I don't know if that is. I don't mean it
you
like
call
janky.
Him old janky.
Well, I think
janky's like a negative term.
Well, yeah, but my point it's just his name is Jenkins.
Yeah, so I don't know why you'd call him janky.
Well, should we call him Jenks?
Yeah,
Jenks.
Wouldn't that be similar to how was that? I'm trying to think.
I also don't know how old he is, so calling him old. I don't. It's not like a literal.
He's not
statement.
That old.
Yeah, it could be a young man. Prime.
He's a great
of his
guy.
Life. Not, seems like a great guy.
Mm-hmm.
His name's Dave. Jenkins, 216-474-0092. Where you guys are? What's the deal with this stadium? Where are you guys with the Browns? Stay on the lakefront or not? Positive update on Deontay Foreman. He's been released from the hospital after a blow to the head. He had to be helicoptered out of practice today. Everything down to stabilizing. Daryl Ryder, who now, in light of the stadium update, the response from the Haslam Sports Group, is now going to join us at 4:20. So that's just changed within the last 5 minutes here. Daryl was actually right there when it happened. So to hear that Deontay has been released from the hospital. X-rays were negative. That's a really, really good thing. I know we don't have a lot of history with Deontay. Having watched this dude play, man, I think if he makes his team, he is going to be a fan favorite very quickly because he is a locomotive on the field. So good to hear that positive update. We've got the city of Cleveland and Haslam Sports Group interacting in public, no less, about the future of where the Cleveland Browns will play. We got that going on. We got Herm Edwards coming up in 40 minutes, but 92.3 The Fan is looking for a winner. Enter the word Dan at 92.3thefan.com by 7 p.m. for your chance to win a pair of tickets to see Dan and Shay. Those crazy kids.
Crazy guys.
Dan is so Dan. Shay is show. I mean, she's so Shay, as I've always said. August 9th at Blossom Music Center. Tickets available at LiveNation.com. Courtesy of Live Nation, Sports Radio 92.3 The Fan. And your boys, the Vibe Guys, Nick and Dusty. So, you vibing on what we saw out of the Greenbrier today? The big video, the big release?
Am I vibing on it?
Yeah.
I don't know. Not really. I mean, it's a video.
Have you watched the video, I should ask?
It's just a throw, dude.
Wait, no. That's trivializing it. Several people have tweeted about it. A few people have tweeted out the video. But the first thing I saw today was Zach Jackson of The Athletic tweeting out Watson deep sideline route to Tillman for a touchdown. Ball was right on the money versus single coverage. Then we find out it was a 40-yard throw. If you've seen the video, there was some whoa in the background. There's some good camp.
Who
sound.
Who has the video? I thought it was in the DMs.
It was not. It was only now that you've asked me, I don't remember who specifically had it, but it's out there.
Okay.
You can see it. And
who the hell cares?
I don't think we can do that. Because here's the thing. I said this a couple days ago, and I think this video proves it. If when Deshaun wraps up camp sooner than the other three quarterbacks, and his last throw is one in the dirt at the net, and we wonder, is he shutting it down because of his shoulder? If that's fair game, if what the hell's going on here is fair game, why isn't overreacting to a positive thing? Like, we shouldn't overreact either, but you know what I mean?
Yeah, you shouldn't go with the overreaction either way, but like the overreaction to something positive, I guess it's fine. Like, get excited if you want to get excited. I don't get excited over things like that. But when you've had all this negative stuff going on and the guys played poorly over the last, you know, X amount of games or X amount of years, I guess you'll take anything positive.
I think that's where we should be. I think, because here's the thing. I think if you are selective in what you wait, I think that's, like, I'll be honest, man, if you're a Browns fan and you saw this video, one is a really nice throw. And that is probably about 30 yards, but it is a perfect throw right on the money. It's actually really nice to see Cedric Tillman catching that pass. And again, he's going up against Justin Hardy. Justin's probably going to be the 53rd man on the roster, more of a special teams player than he is a cornerback. But you can explain this away. At the same point, man, like, I think we're to a point where if you want to vibe on this, dude, vibe. It's such a weird, it's such a weird camp. You and I've talked about this where it's like, and I think a good part of this is they're still in the Greenbrier.
Yeah.
Doesn't really feel like camp is going on.
I know, it's so far away. It's like we don't have access. There's not like a live feed you can watch. I don't know. You just feel like you're kind of out of the mix.
Well, in like, there's no camp battles. Like all the things that we gravitate to in camp. It's just none of that this year.
Right.
Like, okay, yes, we're going to fall in love with certain players during the preseason that we think should make the roster. That happens every year. There is a Devin Kajust or
Sheehy Giuseppe.
Yeah, there's multiple ones of the. Ronnie Hickman was my guy. And Diabate.
Oh, Hickman had he was good.
And I still like Diabate, the linebacker out of Utah. But like, there's always going to be those guys. We haven't really found those guys yet. Like, we haven't developed our camps yet of this guy's got to make it or what the hell are the Browns doing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's always there. But, like, I mean, Mike Vrabel, to this point, is the star of camp, and he's not even an official coach with them. He's like a consultant.
He's like not. We don't even know if he's traveling to games.
We no idea what the actual role will be. And none of this is criticism for the Browns. That's not what I'm trying to say here. Although I don't like the Greenbrier thing. I'll just be honest. I know they like it. I know some of the players like it. I wonder how much of that is lip service. I want you guys in front of this team as much as possible. And so I do take umbrage as a kid who I remember getting my hat signed in 1999 when they came back. I still have the hat. Cannot tell you what most of the signatures are, but it meant something to me that Jim Pine stopped and said something to me.
Well, Jim Pines.
Jim Pine. Married to Tim Couch's ex. God, I could use a 30 for 30 on that story. But, yeah, I mean, that's the first time I ever. He does not remember this, nor should he, because I barely remember. I was 14. But, like, the point is, like, that was that next moment that helped me fall in love with the Cleveland Browns, where they started to become my team instead of, oh, that's my dad's team.
Yeah.
So now that I've gone on that whole thing, it's actually, I don't mean it to be a criticism of the Greenbrier. I just think it's a returning roster. Like, if you are going to camp this year, what are you going to see? I think it's Jerry Jeudy. I think it's Deshaun. What is new there that you're going to go, as we always do, we scout?
I think Judy's definitely one. Maybe one of the biggest ones that you're kind of excited to see and know. I mean, Deshaun, obviously, but, I mean, that's not new. I mean, he's been here. Who else?
But I just think it's cut and dry. Hey, Deshaun does it or he doesn't. There's not a lot of intrigue there. So if this opens up the intrigue for Browns fans, like, dude, I'll be honest with you, I like seeing it. Like, every time I see one of the stoved throws or a throw into the ground, I'm like, oh, man, please no. Not a third year of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So why can't I then look at a positive and go, oh, hey, that gives me a glimmer of hope? Because at this point, if you say, because I think your counter reaction is going to be, yeah, none of this matters till we see it in a game.
Right.
100% fair. And I think there are people who look at that and agree with you. At the same point, I got 6 weeks until I'm going to see that. I got time till I'm going to see the Browns versus Cowboys. So this idea, I think it's a sports talk or a sports media thing. This notion,
it's a media thing?
Well, this notion that we only wait until the games matter to make observations is total caca. It's total high roading. I'm better than you. I'm a member of the media. That's a fan thing. Hit the bricks, Charlie. I totally vibed on this. I am so ready for Deshaun to do something to make me feel like I have a connection to the Browns quarterback again. And it's not entirely Deshaun's fault. It's the situation's fault, of which Deshaun is certainly a big part of this. But, like, you know, if you heard Jason Lloyd, and I thought Jason was great on with the Morning Boys today, and I thought they did a great job with Jason, where he talked about the piece he wrote about Deshaun's comments and, you know, Deshaun alluding to being, you know, maybe that he feels a little bit more like a victim in this situation than not. I didn't necessarily take it to the exact degree that I think Jason did and Daryl did. I was not there, though. When I heard the comments, I thought he referenced it. I thought he walked up to the line. And I think you can tell he does feel like he has been treated unfairly. But I wouldn't agree with the assertion that Deshaun portrayed himself as a victim.
Right.
That's kind of where Jason and I, and honestly most of the Browns beat and I, disagree. But, like, I thought Jason was spot on. And we're going to go ahead and play this piece of sound. This is one of a few clips we pulled here. Jason talking about Deshaun and Deshaun's just some of the things Deshaun has said in camp and how it reflects on him and the Browns and Browns fans.
If there's this notion out there that I'm against Deshaun or that I'm anti-Deshaun, that is absolutely not true. And I have all the proof to back that up. So then we get to last week at the Greenbrier. And Stanley listened to him, and he starts off with the, you know, block out the BS. Okay, fine. That's every quarterback should. You can't play successful in the NFL if you're that was one that could place with Baker. But then when you start off with the people are questioning my character and people don't like me. Seriously? Really? You're going to stand up there? You are going to stand up there and talk about character and why people don't like you? I couldn't take it anymore. Couldn't take it anymore. It's like, you know what? There are rules of engagement to this. You are a hired mercenary. Fans here don't have to love you. You were not drafted here. You don't have all this goodwill and credibility built up. You were brought here for a business transaction to do an assignment. Haven't done that. Hasn't been healthy. That part's not his fault. That's the reality of it. Been here for 2 years. Hasn't been on the field long enough. So now you're going to come out here and say, people are questioning my character. Yeah, Deshaun, people are questioning your character because more than 24 women said that you did some pretty ugly things to them. And the New York Times found over 60 women that massaged him over the course of 17 months or whatever it was. So let's just, like, if we're going to do it, then let's do it. If he wants to say that, then okay, then I'm going to explain to you why people were questioning your character. I honestly don't know why that's so controversial. The fans want to hide behind the, well, he wasn't indicted. He wasn't indicted of anything. Okay, you're right. He was not indicted. But Sue Robinson reviewed four cases the NFL put in front of her and said that the NFL cleared its burden of proof that he committed sexual assault. You can't run with one and ignore the other. The reaction when he left, the reaction I had and the reaction a lot of other people were, what was that? Are you serious? Seriously? He's going to stand there and talk about his character and people not liking him?
And what I think is interesting about Jason setting this whole thing up, I understand why Deshaun still feels like or questions why people have not come around to him yet. I also understand exactly why Jason took, even though I disagree, I don't feel the same way, why he went with what he went and why he wrote what he wrote. And I think it just speaks to a disconnect. And I do think that is something that Deshaun has to own. Like, if you want, okay, man, you want all the love. Everybody, that's a whole point of everything, man. You get a lot of money, a lot of love, a lot of people saying nice things about you. But to come back from where you came back with, if you still feel like people are giving you unfair treatment, kind of got to start with your own, the way you've handled the last 2 years. And I think that kind of ties in with what we're talking about this with this damn 40-yard touchdown pass. Like, people, I do think people out there are looking. Are there people who just want to talk about football again? Yeah, of course. 100%. There are people who don't want to have to deal with the nuance of Deshaun Watson's been really good at football. Deshaun Watson has been accused of some really horrific things off the field.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to reconcile those two things. There are people who didn't want to do it 2 years ago. There are even more people now who are just done with that conversation because they don't want to have to do that moral dance. I get it. It's not where I am. But I also think there's one thing missing from this Deshaun thing. And I think we've dealt with it with Deshaun in a lack of success. Now I think we got to start thinking about, in the best case scenario, how we're going to deal with it. I think if you want to overreact to the 40-yard throw today, guys, it's been a long-ass 2 years. And what I think is interesting is I don't feel like the Watson stuff, I mean, it's ebbed and flowed,
mm-hmm.
but I don't feel like anything has changed any of the circumstances. It's like the Watson wars are dormant to some degree, but at any point, it's a real thing.
I know it is.
And these two things have kind of gone hand in hand. And like, listen, I truly understand. And I can't say I understand. I've never been accused of what Deshaun was accused of, sued for, and suspended for. But I can empathize with how he feels after 2 years if he feels like he hasn't been given a chance to defend himself. I also feel like if you need to defend yourself, I think maybe it's telling us that you haven't moved on from the thing.
Yeah, and that's a little alarming because that makes you think that it's still up there.
Yeah.
And that's going to be on your mind, weighing on you throughout not just the season, but your career.
And I want to make it clear that I don't want this to come off as just another criticism of Deshaun. Because, and to some degree, it's low-hanging fruit. And the whole conversation, dude, we get to a point where we almost need somebody to come out and read minutes. So we can have like a perfect synopsis. We need like a 5-minute rejoinder every single time for every single bit. Because if you leave one piece out, Listen, I understand why Deshaun and his people think, and his camp
people
think that this whole thing hasn't been fair. At the same point, dude, there's been 2 years here. I was thinking about this today because we talk all the time about the what if, the negative what if. Like, well, what if he doesn't play this year? Are you going to move on? We had two guests yesterday say, if he didn't stay healthy, if he didn't play well, you got to move on. Or at the very least, you got to bring in like something credible for the future to give yourself a chance to grow this thing.
Yeah, like what is that? What does that look like?
Yeah, which, I mean, that could entail a first-round pick, all these kind of things. At the same point, do you know another fairly uncomfortable conversation that I don't think we've had at all? Because we've just been mired in the Watson wars.
The Watson wars.
Which is, are you going to have complicated feelings if the Browns won the Super Bowl with Deshaun this year? Now, I'm not saying you're going to have complicated feelings about the Browns winning the Super Bowl. But Deshaun being the face of that, I do think there are people in town that still have complicated feelings on that. I have a friend who's also in media, and we were talking the other day, and they said to me, I think it'd be the funniest thing if you won the Super Bowl this year, but it was Jameis Winston that won the Super Bowl for you. Now, I could point out...
I mean, I could certainly see that.
Well, but I there's some blind spots in there that Jameis has also had a sordid history with some very serious legal wranglings, but that didn't wash up on our shores. You know, like the Deshaun thing, we got Deshaun mired in the midst of that. There was no, oh, we're going to Heisman that, because you had to own it as part of this trade. You had to make some sort of moral sacrifice to embrace this trade. Oh, well, I don't condone that, but I get why they're doing it.
When they
it
made
for
the trade, I at the time just didn't really look at much of the details, you know, what was going on behind the scenes.
I think a fair amount of people didn't do that, because it asks a lot of tough questions. But I'll be honest with you, dude. I think there's been a massive missed opportunity by Deshaun the last 2 years. And I think, Xavier P. talked about, imagine what it's like to not be able to defend yourself for that long. I'd probably ask Deshaun, getting back to that mindset of, one, why do you think you need to defend yourself? And that gets back into the idea of the victim thing. But here's the thing, dude. I'll have complicated feelings if they win a Super Bowl with Deshaun this year, specific to this year, because it's short order. It's going to go, oh, he can play. Oh, hot damn, he can really play. Oh, man, we're going to the Super Bowl. We just won one. That is a remarkably short turnaround if you still have complicated feelings on Deshaun. But, dude, I got to tell you, it's not about the suspension. It's not about the allegations. It's about what Deshaun has done since he's been here. And to his credit, we haven't had any allegations. And to his credit, we've seen him at, you know, 7-on-7 camps, and we have seen him at high school camps and stuff like that. But we're 2 years in, and there's at no point have I ever felt like I got to know Deshaun. And that is a huge missed opportunity. And I want to make it clear, this is not a criticism of Deshaun. It is an observation that if you really wanted to, because really at the basis of, I haven't been able to defend myself, is you feel misunderstood. Instead of engaging on, I got to block out the BS and I don't give two bleeps what people say, which absolutely indicates that you hear the noise and it does bug you. Instead of that, which is a defensive status, you don't have to forget it. You can put it down. You can say, I cannot change how I have been perceived. I cannot change the things that I have been accused of, I was suspended for, and I was sued for.
He did something, and whatever it was, crime or not, it was a egregious behavior that he was suspended for. And like, there's barely been nothing. And I don't think there will be.
Well, but I think that's the missed opportunity,
because he can't look himself in the mirror and just humble yourself enough for one moment and just do that, because clearly you did something wrong.
But let's look at it.
It's not our job to judge, you know, how wrong it was, whatever. But it was a distraction, and you brought it on yourself.
In fairness, a lot of people have not gone after Deshaun consistently. Because here's the thing. You have to separate Cleveland media from social media. Just because somebody says they're in the media and they have a social media account does not mean they're a part of the, hey, I've got a YouTube channel. And by the way, I'm not trying to take a shot at anybody who's not part of traditional media, because honestly, they open up more spaces for us if we decide to leave traditional media.
For sure.
So I really am not trying to take a shot. But my point is, within there, if you work here, within radio, there's a difference between working here and working someplace that ain't a sports talk station and talking about Deshaun. Same thing goes with a YouTube channel. There are very credible, really well done YouTube channels. There's also guys that don't have any media training that are out here trying to break in a space. If you treat them the same, it's not the same damn thing. If you treat both of those, well, but this guy, okay, but what are his qualifications? What has he done? Like, how is that guy's voice equal to anybody who has had a 2-year running show that is done every day and does a damn good job? What, like, for Deshaun to truly be embraced in this town, I know winning is a huge thing. I know it is. And I can understand the importance of that. So is putting down the last 2 years and finding a way to show us who you really are, who you claim to be. I can't take your word for it that you're a good guy. I can't take Dabo Swinney's word that you're a good guy, because I don't know either of you from Adam. And now that it's 2 years in, I still don't know you. And when you go and do a podcast with Quincy Avery, I don't have a beef with Quincy. I know several people have. I don't have a beef with Quincy. But that's a, I'm circling the wagons. I'm going to have this podcast with him, and he's not going to push me. He's not going to ask me anything different because he's on the damn payroll. What can I discover about you, truthfully, in that? I can't. It's nothing against Quincy. Mm-hmm. And by the way, when Quincy, who speaks for you, is out there battling people and making you look bad, that does have repercussions in a town like this. So I don't, at this point, dude, I don't know what happened before he got here, but I do know what has happened since he's been here. And it's been more defensiveness than it's been, hey, who's the real Deshaun? It should not. This is not, dude, this is PR 101. If you would like me to stop talking about that other thing, show me who you are.
Yep.
If you are a good guy, I want to see that you're a good guy. I want to be able to make my own opinion on you so I'm not relying on secondhand information, because we're not going to trust it, because if you ain't from here, we're only going to give you so much credence. So I can understand, I can empathize with maybe how Deshaun feels, but you're never, winning's going to go far for a lot of people.
Yeah.
But those people who said, I'm not a Browns fan until he's gone, you're never going to reach him just by playing good football. The only way you're going to reach him is by showing us who you really are, who you say that you really are. And that is something that they've not been willing to do, or that maybe they don't really want to do, because it's a little bit easier to just stick in your own spot and say, well, it's the media's fault, or it's social media's fault, or I was taken out of context.